Okay, good morning.
Good morning.
That was pretty weak. The topic is doing a smaller quote-unquote sin in order to prevent or save someone else from doing a more severe sin. Now, we've definitely touched upon this subject before, and even some of the cases we've explored briefly in a different context. But I wanted to jump into this sugya because there are so many ramifications that come up halacha lemaisa, especially when dealing with friends or family who are not religious. The shaila goes back to a gemara in Shabbos and Daf Dalet, where we have the famous case of someone places the dough into the oven, right? In the olden days, it was basically sticking the dough onto the wall of the oven, and then they walk away. So obviously, doing that on Shabbos is not a good idea. That's one of the lamates melachos of a fia / bishul. And you're standing there watching, and you're horrified. Cannot believe a yid just placed dough into an oven. And it's going to bake, and when it does bake to the point where it becomes crisp and edible, right, even Kamaicho ben Dursoy, at that point we say they're in violation of an Isser Deraisa. So I think to myself, oive, what can I do? So one option is, when I close that door, one option is I could do nothing. Haliteni l'rosha v'yomos. Let them die in their sin. That's one option. Option number two is I could run over and grab the dough and take it out of the oven before it bakes, and I'd be saving them from an iser of baking on Shabbos. So why is option two not pashut? Of course you would do that. Why is it not pashut? Because we know removing dough from an oven, radiyas hapas, is asr. What malacha is it? It's none of the malachos. There's not an iser deraisa, but there's an iser derabanan of removing dough from an oven. There might be an issue of muktzah there, right? The dough itself is not edible. But basically, it comes down to a shaila of me doing an iser derabanan to save you from an iser deraisa. Would I be allowed to do that? So the Gemara's language is v'chi omrim lo la'adam chatei kedei sheyizke chavercha. Would we tell someone to do a chait, even a quote-unquote smaller chait, to save his friend? That's not hashkafas haTorah. We wouldn't tell him to do that. Question already. He's long gone.
I know. But I'm saying, even him, I don't know that you would say, okay, you did an iser, you're in the middle of doing an iser deraisa.
Now, that's a very insightful question. Meaning, putting aside this case of two different people, Let's say it was just one person. He was in a rebellious mood, so he takes the dough and places it in the oven. But then he has hirurei tshuva, right? Let's make it a case of mamish mezid. He has a hurry tshuva. I'm like, I can't believe I did that. That's terrible. Ah, man, I'm going to take out this dough before it bakes. So theoretically, we would have the same question. Am I allowed to take out the dough? What's the ratzon habore right now? Am I allowed to do an iser derabanan of removing the dough to save myself from an iser deraisa? Good question as well. Yeah, muktzah or just the radiyas apas, the scraping the bread out of the oven might be stam and iser unto itself.
It's a little simple question, though. He's on the hook no matter what at this point.
It's somewhat of a different question conceptually because mimonav shach, no matter what, you're not doing a stellar job this Shabbos, right? this is not gonna rank as one of your top three Shabbosim of all time, right? But it's a similar question. Right? The Gemara is dealing with chatei kidei shigiz kechavercha. And the truth is, we didn't do the whole cheshbin of the Gemara, the back and forth. What Dr. Sloan is bringing up is actually one of the steps of the Gemara. But it's a similar question conceptually. Would I be allowed to do a small chet myself to save me from a more severe chet? Okay. The Gemara seems to be assuming that at least for me to do a small chet to save you from a more severe chet is something we would never do. Never. Except for when we do it. Right? And that's what Tosfos says. V'chi omrim lo la'odim chetei bishvil shiyizke chavercha zok taisves v'hoda omr b'chol ma'arvin Rebbe Savar Nichele Lechoved the Ovid Yisura Kalila V'lo Le'ovid Amo Oret Yisura Rabba. Aye, we have the Shita of Rebbe in the Gemara and Erevin and Daf Lamed Beis, where you have an Amo Oret who was collecting food for himself, for his household. And you give him some produce, but after giving him the produce, you realize that it was never, you never took off trumos and maisros. So now you have an option, right? I could take it off. I, the balabais who gave him the produce, I could take it off now. The problem is that now is Shabbos. On Shabbos, what's the problem with taking off trumos and maisros? It's a din, it's an isur derabanan of your masakin mana. It's as if you're fixing something, right? So it's not an isur deraisa of fixing something. It's not binyan or makabah patish. I'm not doing anything tangible. But there's an isur derabanan of taking off trumos and maisros. If I don't take off trumos and maisros, what's going to happen? This person's going to be walking along his merry way. Right? He picks up the date and says, borei pri ha'etz. And starts to indulge. The problem is now he's eating tevel. Eating tevel is a real iser. So Rebbe Shita is, you the balabaya should take off chumos and maisros, you should be in violation of an iser derabanan in order to save him from an iser chomer of eating tevel. So that sounds like a contradiction, right? So how might you answer that question? How would you distinguish between the case in Erevin and our case over here in Shabbos? What would you tie, no? So Tosva says, the case in Erevin, you're the one who's really putting him in this situation where he's about to be in violation of a real Isser of eating tevil. You gave him the produce. In contrast to, or if you want to sound scholarly, you would say, in contradistinction to, right? What a silly word, right? Why would anyone ever say contradistinction? Ever had that, Kasha? Right? You could say in distinction, or you could say in contrast, right? Okay. No, it's a good catch, right? What are you doing? What are you trying to prove to us?
You sound more erudite.
Right? In contradistinction to the Gemara in Shabbos, where this fellow you see placed the dough in the oven, he's doing that to himself. You didn't set him up for that chet. So when it comes to his chet that he chose to do, then v'chi yomer lo'odom chate kidei shiyizke chavercha, how could you do even a small sin to save him from a grave sin? But when you're the one setting him up for that more severe sin, then it's different. How do we understand that distinction? So one way to look at it would be as follows. When you're the one giving him the produce, so if and when he eats that produce, he's going to be eating tevil, and what's going to happen to you? You're going to be in violation of? You're setting him up, right? I was the one who enabled that chet to take place. So when you think about it, no matter what I do, I'm going to be doing something wrong. it's either going to be a violation of Lifnei Iver Lo Sita Ed Michshol, because when he eats it, I'm the one who was gorim that chait. And if I try to alleviate the situation, I try to make sure he doesn't do anything wrong, so I take Trumas and Maisros now, then I'll be doing a chait. So no matter how you view it, something is going to happen. Then you could argue you might as well grab the lesser of two evils. Don't be in violation of Lif Naiver on a deraisa level. So do an Isser Derabanan. Because either way, you're doing a chait. You could say, in contradistinction to the case in Shabbos, I see this guy put the dough into the oven. What did I do? Nothing. I was not in violation of Lif Naiver. I have no connection or participation to his Isser Shabbos of Afia. I feel bad that it's happening, and I'm crying over the sin that he's committing, but I'm not doing anything. So then, how can I choose to get involved with any level of sin to save him from a more severe sin? That's what Tosa seems to be saying. Do we like that, Mrs. Goldstein?
I was just going back to the Tekel one. I mean, you don't know that he's going to eat those big fat chops. You know, you could decide to take as much as right after that.
No, because he's leaving with the assumption that you're a chaver, right? You're a God-fearing Jew. Yeah, and therefore, he's not going to take Trumas and Maisers. He's not going to.
But you don't know that he's going to do anything wrong on Shabbos. You could take your Trumas and Maisers.
I'm saying, but it doesn't make a difference when he eats it. He's going to eat it because he's assuming that this fruit is kosher, bedatz, mahadrin.
What would
you? You take your Trumas and Maisers after Shabbos. He eats the food on Sunday. We're all good.
No.
Rabbi Safin has a rebuttal.
No, the Isser is lob shlomin amukav. That's the problem.
Meaning what?
He's not allowed to take Trumas and Maisers unless he has it in front of him.
Oh. So there could be potentially a problem that even if it's not a Shabbos issue, is that if it's not within your possession, within your area, that's an Isser derabbanan as well.
So why can't you tell the guy?
It's too late. He's long gone. Huh? Find him. Oh. This is getting balabatish. Okay, so that's the first answer of Tosfos, right? The second answer of Tosfos is as follows. He says that the difference between the Gemara and Shabbos and the Gemara and Erevin is that the Gemara and Erevin, he'd be doing the chet totally ba'ones. Right, he has no idea that what he's doing is a problem. So there it makes sense for you to violate a small chait to save him from a more severe chait when he's not even choosing to do it. In contrast to our Gemara and Shabbos, where he put the bread into the oven. He put the bread into the oven, and the bottom line is, he knows what he's doing is wrong. And therefore, how can you do a small chait to save him from a more severe chait? It almost sounds like this distinction is based on the following svara. That there's a logic, if you're about to do something totally against your will, you're not aware of what's happening, so then I have more of an obligation to jump in and save you. Lo samad al dam riacha, even if that means I'm doing something that's also kind of usser. But lemaisa, it's a lower level isser than yours, so I have a mitzvah to save you, to be mafrish you from isser. But if you're choosing to do the isser, then you could argue, it doesn't make sense for me to get involved. Why should I choose now to do something that's usser to save you when you're being negligent, you're being irresponsible? That's the second answer of Tosfos. And it seems like lahalacha, we very much embrace this second answer. And I want to give you an example of this. So this is a case I'm sure we mentioned before. This is the famous case of the end of Simin Shinva, the Trubas of Rashba.
Does it make a difference if it's Tino Shinishbar or someone who's in the office?
Well, according to the second answer of Tosfos, it would make a very big difference. If the person has no clue that I'm not allowed to bake on Shabbos, So then l'chora, that's an onis. And then you could argue, doing a chet kal to save him from the iser of afiyah and Shabbos is the right move. So the case over here at the end of Shin Vav is where you have a group of brainwashed cult members who come and grab someone's daughter. Shehotzio bitu mibeso b'Shabbos lehotzio michlal Yisrael. Why do they grab her? Why do they abduct her? To convert her and to remove her from the Jewish people. Meaning that her physical life is not in danger. We're working with that assumption. But Lemaisa, what do? So mitzvah losum lederech pomov lihishtadel b'hatzalasa. Mechaber is paskening that there's an obligation, right? In this particular case, the father was informed that his daughter was abducted. It's an obligation on him and the rest of the mishpach and anyone else to jump into their jeep and grab their AK-47s and do whatever they have to do to get her back. V'yotzei afilu chutz l'shlosh parsos. And you can even go outside of the tchum, and we'll see that you could even do malacha deraisa. V'ilo boy. But let's say, right, it's in the middle of the Shabbos Suda. It's a really good cholim this week, right? It's a kind of, they just grabbed her and they're taking her away. Okay? It should be with Siyata Deshmaya, right? Ilo boy, kaifinan le. You force him to go. It's his moral obligation. Says the Mishnah Berurah. Sivkat the Ninvav, Shaotzio bita, orcha de mil senaka. This is just somewhat of a common example. V'hu adin acher, reshai l'chal Shabbos kedei l'hatzila me'isr ha'gadol. But it's not limited to the father. It would be true for any member of Klal Yisrael that they're obligated to be mechal Shabbos to save her from the isr gadol. What isr gadol? Of being converted out of Judaism, so to speak. But explains the Mishnah Berurah. This is assuming that they grabbed her against her will. That's why they allowed others to be Mechal Shabbos to try to save her. Because we paskin im eino posheya, in a case where someone is not negligent. Chayiv lasos isura zuta kedei shelo yasa chaver isura rabba. Then you are obligated to do a smaller iser to save your fellow from a more severe iser. Avim pasha. But if she was posheya, she wasn't negligent. Ein lo lavi lechal shabbos avura. Then the father or anyone else should not be mechal shabbos at least to do a malacha deraisa on her behalf. Because that's where the Gemara and Shabbos applies. That's where we have the philosophy that you should not do even a smaller chait to save someone from a more severe chait when they were posheya, when they were responsible and negligent, they put themselves in that situation. To do an Esther Durbanon, though, it's interesting, he does point out, even in a case where they were negligent, that you're allowed to do. That's the Mishnah Berurah explains this halacha of the Mechaber. However, if you look at the Ramah at the very end, right, that's back on top, he says, Ayin lekaman simin shin chav ches sif yud. Let's do that for a moment. Hey, it's right here on the other page. It's on page 3. Oh, incredible. Shin Chav Ches is the Simbin on Refuah and Shabbos, right? That was part of our discussion last week. We were focused on Sif Yud Zayin. But here in Sif Yud, the Ramah writes as follows. Mi shirotzim l'anso, very last part of the Ramah. Mi shirotzim l'anso shiyavar avera gedola. If you have a situation where people are forcing someone to do an avera gedola, what's a good example of an avera gedola? Let's say they're mamish forcing the guy to eat a cheeseburger with bacon on Yom Kippur. That's an aver gedola. Ein mechalel in a love haShabbos kedei lahatzilo. We're not mechalel Shabbos to save him. So the Rama mentions this halacha at the end of Shin Vav. Now, obviously, at face value, it seems like a contradiction. Right? They're forcing him to do an avera gedola, so that's an ones, that's against his will. If we paskin by the case of abducting the girl, that you're mechalel Shabbos because it's an ones, and then we would paskin chatei kedei sheyizke chavercha, why wouldn't we paskin the same thing over here? They're forcing this guy to eat the cheeseburger with bacon on Yom Kippur. It's against his will, so we should say chatei kedei sheyizke chavercha. So why does that make a difference, a one-time thing versus... What's that?
Completely different.
Okay.
Somebody forces somebody to eat non-kosher food like that. They're being forced to do something that they're not sinning. They're being forced to do something. The girl that's being kidnapped is not an innocent. There's nobody that she's being forced to eat.
She's going to be forced to... Okay. So it sounds like we're saying two separate things, right? Okay. So the shaila is like this. What's the whole starting point? The starting point is, if what I'm doing is viewed as a smaller chait. Now, there's no such thing as a small chait. Rabbi said, there's no such thing as a small chait. Every nuance that's connected to Ratzon Hashem is mamish nitzchiyus of Gehenim. Welcome, boys. Welcome. Somebody told me, you know, that their problem with the tech lock, the filtering, is that the Maya said, just it's really annoying. It's really annoying. So I said, you know, it's also really annoying. Gehenim. Sometimes fire and brimstone, you know? That's also really annoying. Even more than I can't get to this website and I'm putting in my code and it's not working. Anyway,
Brown,
sorry.
Is it also based upon what the reputations of the person if he refuses to eat it?
Oh, so that's a good question as well. We're going to get there in a moment. Okay. Yes. The whole premise here is that I could do something smaller in relation to what you're doing, assuming you're doing it b'ones. It's not your decision, it's not your negligence. So when it comes to the girl who's getting taken away by this cult of crazy people, so if you do nothing now, even though Chilul Shabbos is obviously, that's a pretty severe hate, but we would still view that as a chait kal, in contrast to what that chait is, namely, never living a frum life again. When it comes to the case in Shin Chav Ches, so to be mechalel Shabbos from to save him from eating treif or eating on Yom Kippur, to save him from being mechalel Shabbos, then the whole equation doesn't even work, because why should I do Chilul Shabbos to save you from Chilul Shabbos? We don't view that as a lower chait to save you from a more severe chait. That's the pashut pshat and the distinction between Shin Vav and Shin Chav Ches.
I don't know if Moses Goldfield is there, but technically he's not even sin. B'chai Ben, there's only three mitzvos, Gila, Arisha, Zama, and Belazar, that a person has to give up their life. A person forces a person to eat a cheeseburger no matter what day of the year. Hashem says that that's what you do with Naman Avir. You're fulfilling with Chayban. So forget that it's not even less versus more. He's not even doing Avir.
So I think that's very similar to what Mr. Goldstein was suggesting.
Wow.
It reminds me of the story where the frum guy in the office was always very, very makbid, never to eat treif with his co-workers. And one day, it was funny, Marvin, who is usually a cool, calm, and collected guy, he actually goes up to Shmuel with a 9mm and says, "You're coming with me." And he takes him to Porky's. And he says, "You're ordering a cheeseburger with bacon." And he does so. And he starts eating it, right? He understands the halacha, that v'chai behem. And the whole time he's holding the gun underneath the table. And the ma'ase Shmuel is eating. After he finishes the cheeseburger, Marvin says, "You should know, I wouldn't do anything to actually harm you. I just wanted you to have the opportunity to taste the cheeseburger." And Shmuel said, "You couldn't have waited till after dessert?" anyway.
The same scenario, they were forcing him to bow down to idols. And you say the guy has to give up his life, or you could save him with Mimachal Shabbos and should.
Oh, so this is a very interesting question. Let's say that he was forced to do one of the big three, right? Where the real halacha is that Yarig Vel Yavor, that he should give up his life. So now you have the following question. Should I be Mechalel Shabbos to save his life? Right? Because on one hand, you're always Mechalel Shabbos to save someone's life. But you could argue that's based on the premise of V'chai Behem. But if in this particular scenario, V'chai Behem doesn't apply because they're trying to get him to bow down to an idol, so then maybe I can't be Mechalel Shabbos. So this is discussed in the poskim. Halacha l'maisa, we would say save his life. But it's a good question.
Wait, halacha l'maisa, yes?
Yes, Baruch Hashem, right? It's like the kid in science class where the teacher said the sun's going to burn out in 8 billion years. And he raises his hands, like, 8 billion or 8 million? She said, 8 billion. He's like, oh, Baruch Hashem. Yes, that's halacha l'maisa. I didn't get any sleep last night, so. All right, let's jump to one interesting halacha l'maisa case, and we might have discussed this when we had the Hatzalah shir a year or two ago. I don't remember, but if you do, stop me. Right, we have the following interesting shaila: when you get a call, and you get there first, right? And then you realize, Baruch Hashem, everything is okay, and there's no need for anyone else to come. So can you get on the radio and call back to others, letting them know there's no need to come? We spoke about this. Okay. Have a good day. Oh, yeah,
I remember that they had a call during
They had a call at some point during that year. Right here. So, on one hand, right, you could argue, based on this Tosfos, right, using the radio is obviously, it's malacha, but the assumption is it would be malacha derabanan, and you're saving them from driving, and driving, we assume, is malacha deraisa. So, would we apply the concept of chatei kedei sheyizke chavercha? Pashupshad, yes, because they're not doing anything wrong by driving. To the contrary, they're being mekayim a mitzvah of trying to be matzil nefesh, right? The mitzvah of v'chai v'hem and l'samad adam riecha. So according to the second answer of Tosfos, and it seems like we paskin this way based on the end of Shin Vav, we would say, you should call and let them know that there's no longer a need to save them from driving on Shabbos. That would be the pashupshad. Now, the reason why it gets a little bit complex, if you take a look at page 4, right, this is also from Simon Shin Chav Ches on Sif Tes Vav. Amdu Perush, Hisbodanu Machalaso Visharu. Let's say you have doctors who made the assessment that Shitzarech Grogeris Achas, that this particular chola requires one Grogeris. He requires a date. V'rotzu asara v'heviyu lo kol echad Grogeris. And you have 10 people that hear that, so they all run trying to find one. And they all bring. So kulam paturim. So even though the chola was only in need of one, everyone who did any level of malacha, whatever that malacha may have been, if it was doing kotzer, if it was carrying in the Mishur Sarabim, whatever it may have been, they're all putter. V'yesh lehem sachar tov me'es Hashem. And more than the fact that they're putter, but they actually get schar. Afilu hivri berusho. Now, even if theoretically he's already feeling better after the first guy got back, and now you happen to be number 10, like an hour and a half later, I got the date! Right? It's like, Baruch Hashem, everything is okay. So, l'maisa, you also get schar me'es Hashem, because you were mekayim a mitzvah of working on the behalf of someone else. So, says Rav Ozner, this is on page 6, Asher shol benyin chevras hatzala sheshalchu echad lebeis chola b'shabes, umiyad tzaltzala mibeis chola shematzavu hishtaper ve'ein sarich l'shum azara. Right? Basically, someone was in need of hatzala and Baruch Hashem's situation stabilized, and there's no longer a need for anyone else to come. V'yesh yecholas v'mirkaz l'hodiya l'chavar hatzala shelo yelich klal. And the dispatcher can let everyone know that there's no longer a need. Im kevar hischil in soa, shelo yamshich l'chal ha-shabbos b'chinam. And if they've already started driving, so then they could stop, because there's no need. V'asheile imutir l'chal ha-shabbos ayadei ha-tziltzol. And the shaila is, can you be m'chal ha-shabbos through using the radio? Im neimid avi rak d'rabbanin, kedei l'hatzil chavero, me'en hagas ha-mechonit, tuhu iser Torah. And if we're assuming that using the radio is an Isser Derabanan, so you're basically doing an Isser Kal in contrast to what they would be doing, which is driving the Mechonit, driving the bus, which is an Isser Deraisa. V'hasafik b'yesod yemra'in imam rinan shiyasa Isser Kal lahatzil chavera mechomer. And this gets to the Shaila of Shabbos, Daf Dalid, you doing an Isser Kal to save your chaver from an Isser Chomer, v'adavarim matikim b'shabbos Daf Dalid, many places in Shas and Poskim, and I've had other tshuvas on the subject before. Hine, says Rav Ozner, Ein ze pashad the yeshkan rak iser derabanan. First of all, he does spell out that he's not 100% sold that using a radio is only an iser derabanan. Di tochen shehu iser toro, right? He says, I am concerned for the sheath of the chazanish that maybe it's a binyan and it's an iser toro when it comes to all electricity. But even if you don't say like that, and you assume that using the radio isn't Issa Derabanan, nonetheless, it's poshet, even if they're traveling b'chinam for no reason, eino osa iser klal. You still shouldn't do any iser whatsoever. And he quotes, Orachayim shen chavches sift hesvav, that even if the first guy gets back with the date, and the chola now feels better, nonetheless, everyone else who comes and does more malacha, not knowing the chola is better, they're putter, and they're receiving sachar me'es Hashem. So therefore, it's poshit delo yichalu avuro, that you should not do any malacha, even a malacha derabanan, to save them, because you're not saving them from anything. They're doing a mitzvah.
In their mind, not in reality.
Well, it sounds like from the Mechaber, in reality, they're getting Sachar Me'es Hashem. They're doing a mitzvah. The mitzvah is, you're being mishtadel to save someone's life. So even though it happens to me, Baruch Hashem, he doesn't need me anymore, I'm being Mekayim a mitzvah. So that was the approach of Rav Ozner. Now it's fascinating, yes? Listen, it's a good question. It's definitely been discussed. And theoretically, if someone's on Hatzalah and they want a good excuse just to get themselves a Tesla, it's a good excuse.
Is it actually better or it doesn't make a difference?
Or it's more complicated that way?
If you have a car that's mamish electric, so then it is better. First and foremost for the environment.
Oh,
right.
The light still goes on. It's still.
Right, no, but like Rabbi Safran mentioned, theoretically there could be other nafkaminas if you have an electric car like we saw last week, when it comes to Sakanas Aver, right, where it's not really Pikuach Nefesh, or even a whole Lashayim Bo Sakana to drive Bishinui. Probably not a good idea, but okay, let's just do one last point here. We'll call it a day. Rav Asher Weiss, Shlita, has a tshuva on this. He has a few tshuvas, actually, on this subject, where he quotes from Rav Osner and from Rav Shlomo Zalman, both saying the same psak, that you would not use the radio to tell them that there's no need to come. However, Rav Asher Weiss himself has a hard time understanding that psak, because he says, think about the following scenario. Think about a situation where a person on Yom Kippur was told they have to eat. They mamish need to eat, it's pikuach nefesh. Okay, so they eat, right? They should. They're following doctor's orders, and they're following Hashem's instructions of the Chai Behem. However, it turns out that this guy actually got the wrong instructions, right? The need for eating was a different patient. And for this particular fellow, there's no requirement whatsoever to eat. So he's there fressing on Yom Kippur, mamish being mekayim v'chai behem, you know. I've waited my whole life to be mekayim v'chai behem on Yom Kippur. And then you happen to know that there's no need for him to be eating, right? So would you say, if theoretically you could stop him, right? Say, by the way, you know, you should really stop eating at Yom Kippur, and there's no need whatsoever. You're totally healthy. Baruch Hashem.
But not before dessert.
Kidding me.
What's that?
Not before dessert.
Not before dessert. Not before dessert. All right. So, would there be an inyan to stop him from eating?
You're not doing anything wrong by telling him.
So that's true, but what he's doing here is just focusing conceptually. What?
If he got a thing from the doctor,
let's say you are the doctor, and I was the guy that told him he has to eat, and then I realized an hour and a half later, oops, wrong information, right? So I could theoretically say, why would I stop him? He's mamish being mekayma mitzvah v'chai behem. And he's getting schar me'ez Hashem. Every bite he's being mekayma the mitzvah v'chai behem. So I don't think anyone intuitively would say, yeah, just let him eat. You would run over as fast as you can and say, Rabbi Zayin, Yom Kippur, stop eating. So Rav Asher Weiss basically says, if that's true, so then what that really means is, of course he's getting schar because he thinks he's doing the right thing. But if you know that there's no need for this, then of course you should let him know. So if that's true in the Yom Kippur case, then why can't you make the parallel to the Shabbos case? Yes, by me using my radio, it's an Isser Kal, it's an Isser Derabanan, but what this is showing us is that the Malacha they're doing right now is something that doesn't have to be done. And therefore, we would view it as if you're saving them from doing a Malacha Deraisa.
I was
in
fit with the Mechaber. I'm saying the Mechaber says, though, that if 10 people are going to get it, you should stop them.
Oh. So what the Mechaber is saying is that everyone gets schar for their efforts. Now, the Mechaber did not address the case where you actually happened to be outside. And you were with the patient a half hour ago, and you were there when he got that grogeris, and he's fine now, and I see you running down the street with the date, when there's no Eruv, right? He didn't speak about that case. Very likely in that case, he would paskin, don't drop it, find a makom patur, put it down in a way, we're not in violation of Hotzah. Fine. Anyway,
the person that ate on Yom Kippur because the doctor gave him, and then the doctor realized it, the doctor probably shouldn't tell him because he already ate, because then he's putting, it's a level of kindness. He's now making that person who ate on Yom Kippur feel horrible, and maybe it's best just to let it go.
It's a very sensitive angle, you know, but I think technically speaking, You gotta let him know. And to make him feel better, you could say, you're not going to be blamed for this. I will.
I say you don't need to eat anymore.
That's a good line. That's a good line. I think you're good now. Yeah, no, it's a line that rabbis say sometimes when the person you're speaking to is hesitant, and you tell them, listen, if I'm wrong, you're not going to be punished for this. I will.
Yeah.
Isn't there not also a measurement of that you should free the resources to go back to where they came from in case you need it further?
Yes. So there are two other cheshbonos here. Meaning, what's happening in this conversation with Rav Osner and Rav Shlomo Zalman and then Rav Asher Weiss is really more of an academic conversation. However, practically speaking, there are two major, major svaras. The first svara is, why in the world would I allow my members of Hatzalah to be wasting their time going to a call when they're not needed? Because really, if we get another call 30 seconds later, so then we don't have those resources available, right? So that's one major consideration. Now, theoretically, if you're in the middle of Queens or Brooklyn where you have many, many people and many buses and a few guys here or there doesn't make a difference, that might not be as much of a nafkamina. But I think there's a separate, very important consideration, which is driving quickly to any call, that itself is dangerous. The Maisa, it's not poshut. Right now, Baruch Hashem, we have two new drivers on Hatzalah, right? Rabbi Wilkach and Rabbi Avi Gortz. The Maisa, for Rabbi Wilkach, it's not that big of a deal. the way you generally drive, now you drive the same way in the bus. But Be'etzim, there's always an element. What's that?
He has another Tesla for a reason.
Okay. But there's always an element of danger when you're driving quickly to a call, knowing that every second might make a difference. So that's a very important cheshbon that applies in all cases. And therefore, practically, we do tell Hatzalah members to call back and let people know that they're not needed. Oftentimes, because svara number one is, we don't want to waste the resources, and always for svara number two is because that itself might be viewed as some level of v'chai behem. So, that's halacha l'maisa. Have a wonderful day. Yeah.